Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Powered by Mountain High Appliance. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the pod, reacting to another dagger from Jamal Murray, a game winner that ends the Los Angeles Lakers season. 108 to 106, the Lakers season began the same way that it ended, and that was losing to the Denver Nuggets. And Jamal Murray's legend, it grew a foot on Monday night. Jamal Murray's standing in the history of Denver sports, and specifically with the Nuggets, like, it's turning into like folklore tall tale stuff, where you have this guy who is now the first player in the history of the NBA playoffs to have multiple game winners, all right, to take a lead with under 5 seconds left in the same series ever. There's no precedent, all right? Not Jordan, not Kobe, not LeBron. Like, Jamal Murray has that title, multiple game winners in a single series. And Jamal, it was on a night where we weren't sure he was going to play. You know, I'm out there watching warmups, and it was the shortest warmup he's ever had. It was all, his calf was all wrapped in a warm, a compact and, you know, tightly wrapped, but it was bulky, it was awkward. And he goes out there, and he was out there for maybe 4 minutes. 5 minutes at the most, and then went back in the tunnel. And I said, wow, no Jamal for game five. That's what I said to myself. No Jamal for game five. Can they win this game without Jamal Murray? And you get a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski, Jamal Murray's expecting to go. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, there was times in that game where it looked like he was lacking physical lift. And then there was other times where he was dunking on LeBron James and flexing on him and taking his soul. Jamal Murray, this guy, the level of physical toughness and his wiring, his DNA, going back to training with his father and then overcoming the physical toughness translating to the mental toughness to get through that game and not just get through it, turn in his best performance of the series by a country mile, 32 points. He was 5 or 10 from 3, 7 assists. And then in the fourth quarter, when the game was hanging in the balance and it took another comeback, it was Jamal Murray scoring 12 points in that fourth quarter, including the game winner. He assisted on 11 more points for the Nuggets, and all told, Jamal Murray accounted for 23 of the 27 points scored in the fourth quarter. This is how legends are made. And I don't just use that word flippantly. This is all-time stuff from a champion, Jamal Murray. Absolutely legendary. All right? And in addition to Jamal, okay, in addition to Jamal, we have to give a bouquet of flowers to a guy coming into the series. We had no idea what his mental state was going to be. You guys know what was going on with not just one brother, but two. Not going to reset the whole thing right now. And we were wondering, what is going to be the reaction from Michael Porter Jr.? Is he the type of player that uses basketball as a sanctuary, where that's his safe, happy place, okay, to compartmentalize the chaos and calamity that he and his family were going through? Or, and understandably so, if this was going to be the case, would he wear some of that burden on his shoulders, and would we see it in games? We just didn't know. It was unprecedented that within 5 days, two things happened to his brother, a banning and a sentencing to prison, and a banning from the NBA, And this guy goes on. This guy, Michael Porter Jr., who has been widely discussed, plenty of discourse through the years, this guy scores 26 points in the closeout game and for the series averaged 23 points and 8 rebounds. Guys, he made 20 freaking three-pointers in the gentleman's sweep, 20 of them. He shot 55% from the field, 49% from three, into the 90s from the free throw line. This guy turned in, when we had the biggest question marks, this guy turned in the best series of his career, okay? And furthermore, we have referred to Michael Porter Jr. as like this like top layer of almost sometimes luxury, because we know what we're getting from Jokic. We know what we're getting from Jamal Murray. Aaron Gordon, Old Hickory, Steady Eddie, he's going to be there every time. And if Porter can play well on top of that, the Nuggets are unbeatable. While that is sometimes true, that was not the case in this series. Michael Porter Jr. was closer to the base of the pyramid than we could have ever thought, where he was not the sprinkles on top. He was a part of the foundation, not a luxury, a necessity. If they didn't have Michael Porter Jr. in this series is going back to LA if it's not already over. And I don't think I'm getting carried away with that, right? He was the second best player in this series, and he deserves a ton of credit. And a masterclass of compartmentalizing the chaos in his life. A masterclass in compartmentalization. Huge shout out to Michael Porter Jr. Jokic, I want to talk about Jokic here, who in the closeout game goes for 25 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists. 25, 20, and 9. For the series, Jokic, his numbers are historic. I mean, historically good. For the series, he averaged 28 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists for the series. And I don't think he played A-plus Jokic basketball. And that's where we're at with one of the greatest players of all time. Where you when you get to understand and know Jokic's game, you can't measure his impact on the game by the box score. This box score is so chunky, it's bursting with numbers. Yet the actual temperature of the game on a possession-by-possession basis, like Jokic was great for big chunks, but there was also times where you're like, oh my gosh, what is he thinking? And in game five, there's no other better example than game five. I mean, he was careless with the basketball. Not just once or twice. He had 7 turnovers. And I think 5 of the 7 were avoidable, just bad decision-making. Right? Cross-court passes. As the game's hanging in the balance, there's minutes left, and he's doing the QB1 pass to an injured KCP on the breakaway, throwing it into the stands. There was too many plays like that. So I want to... This is actually a good conversation. It's not negativity towards Jokic. I mean, how can you be negative about 28, 16, and 10? That's legendary. What I'm saying is there's still another floor, if not two floors, above Jokic's ceiling in this series. I know it. I've seen it. Okay? And this wasn't it. Despite so many games being just like, you know, game two, 27, 20, and 10. 24, 15, and 9, 33, 14, and 14. I mean, this is Wilt Chamberlain box scores. This is prime Shaq box scores. But it's a testament to Jokic's greatness, and we've been talking about this for over a year now. You can only measure Jokic up to Jokic. Anything else, it doesn't compare right now. So we have the spectrum that he has created for us, and in this series, while satisfactory, and I almost feel insane saying it, there's still another layer, if not two layers, to lock. And they will need to unlock them against Minnesota, be sure. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on Thursday, because this series isn't going to kick off until Saturday. So we'll have time on Thursday's episode to preview the Minnesota series. But this is the dispatching of the Lakers deserves its own day in the sun, because what the Nuggets have done is they have slammed the casket shut on any title hopes in Los Angeles. That team with LeBron James will never win a championship moving forward. All right, they ended their season last year in sweep fashion. They ended it this year in gentlemen sweep fashion. That roster is not good enough to win a championship. It's just not. They have two really good players, and everyone else is either a question mark or rather mid, to be quite frank. Anthony Davis was great in this series. He really was. I mean, and you know, the punchlines just, they just write themselves. I mean, AD like brushes up again. He's on the ground. Like, I thought they're going to line him in chalk. I mean, seriously, like, I'm in the arena last night, and a hush is over the arena. Like, it's, you know, Damar Hamlin lying dead on the court. I mean, goodness gracious. 3 minutes past, AD's checking back in the game. I'm like, holy crap. I thought he was on his way to the hospital. It's Anthony Davis. But he, on the whole, guys, was really good. This series, LeBron James was really good. And that's how you know you're in trouble. When LeBron James gives you the A-plus version of himself, AD gives you the A-plus version of himself, and you lose in five. So that's just where we're at. And you can make an argument that it was the Nuggets who slammed the casket shut on the Warriors, too. This is, we are just entering a new age of NBA basketball. It's 2024. Sports so often reflects the jungle or the plains, where there's always a new up and coming a lion. There's always a new up and coming gorilla who is going to dethrone the previous king of the jungle. And right now, the Nuggets are the king of the jungle. They are. And the old guard is the old guard, where you're talking the combination of Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant combined for a single playoff win. Digest that. It's where we're at. All right. And the king is not on the crown is not on the head of LeBron anymore. Okay. It's imprinted. You could see it. Jokic comes out. He's got the imprint on it from wearing it. And that's no disrespect, because I know LeBron James is one of the greatest players of all time, as do you. And he's just an ageless wonder. It's incredible. Okay. Want to get to a couple other things here. The team as a whole, and this is a big picture takeaway from the series, and we talked about it throughout the series. The team as a whole did not play great basketball. They didn't. Now, if I were to put a grade on the Nuggets through five games against the Lakers, I would do, man, collectively, I would give them, I'm going back and forth between a C plus and a B minus. Okay. I don't want to get carried away. It wasn't D minus, like, but it was not grade A Nuggets basketball. And it also was not B plus Denver Nuggets basketball. Okay. So we talked about this last week. You can look at it two different ways. You can look at it the one way, say, man, Nuggets are so good, C-plus basketball was able to dispatch the Lakers in five. The Lakers, who was billed as not your average seven seed, right? Okay. The other way to look at it is you're in the NBA playoffs, and you don't have to tie your brain in a pretzel to see where this didn't break the right way for Denver. You're talking about winning a series. You know what the total difference of points here? After five games, the difference of points between the Lakers and the Nuggets was 11 total points difference after five games. I know you're getting Brian Windhorst flashes. That was the most impressive sweep I've ever seen for the Lakers. Like, huh? But this was tight. Took the largest comeback in Nuggets history to win game two. They were trailing at halftime. They played five games. They're trailing at halftime in five games. All right? This was a battle in a way that I almost don't want to accept that it was this tight. Lakers gave them problems despite winning in five. And I just want to be cognizant of the team's collective performance. I wanted to see them play well. I wanted to see them play well in a closeout game where they hadn't played well four games in a row, and they couldn't put it all together. In fact, like, that first half of game five was just bad process. Now, even sometimes when the results were working out, the process in getting to that point was like, this is not what I'm used to. I want to see that, and we have to see that. We have to see grade A Nuggets basketball to beat this next opponent that we'll talk about on Thursday. A couple other thoughts. I already mentioned Michael Porter Jr., second best player in this series. Jokic's grade, B minus. I know. Contrasting with the numbers, but for what we already talked about. What grade would I give the Nuggets? I'll go C+. Who is the best bench player in the series? These are questions we're going to talk about later on my radio show as well. Man, Reggie Jackson was hard to watch in that second half, was he not? Holy smokes. Mind-numbing decision-making. Two different possessions. He turned down Jokic and Jamal to end up shooting on his own. Let's watch the tape and learn from that. Christian Brown was pretty disappointing. I think it was game two we had 10 points, but on the whole in the series, especially game five, it looks timid. In the last couple of games shooting the basketball, I don't think it's going to go in. There was a time where he's on the secondary breakaway, and he does a U-turn when he's got an angle to the hoop. I think it was Aaron Gordon who passed, or MPJ, I forget. But just did a U-turn to just go away from the basket. Just not a confident player right now. That's got to get better. Peyton Watson hit a big three. Peyton Watson hit multiple big threes in game one. The bench was not great. But it also wasn't a back-breaking issue. But it's got to get better because that's where Minnesota's real good. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Best bench player, man. I think I'll go Peyton Watson. I guess I'll go Peyton Watson. But neither, you know, there's not one not obvious candidate there in my humble opinion. All right, we're gonna leave it there for now. Fun. It was great being there. These are the good old days. The moments, we saw some moments in the series that we're going to remember for a long time, all right? We're going to remember for a long time with those game winners. The first of its kind in one series. Really cool. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this, all right? When you go on a hike, it's not all about taking the selfie at the top of the mountain, all right? It's about getting there, and that journey is supposed to be fun. This is fun, and I hope you're having fun with it. Guys, hit me up on my socials, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I've been posting Nuggets content to all of those channels. Hit me up. Go find me. And thank you for rocking with me. Thank you to Mountain High Appliance for jumping on as a sponsor for the playoffs. Thankful for them for sure, and thankful for you for being here. Right. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the second round heavyweight fight, which kind of serves as the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion, the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've been anticipating it all year. Going to see them in the middle of the ring. And we'll talk more about that on Thursday on the Mile High Hoops podcast.